Welcome to Inside the Match, where Alex and Simone talk residency applications.
We are two residents here to help you navigate the match.
For each podcast, we'll bring you residents from various specialties and backgrounds to give advice.
So today we are super excited to have Dr. Kelly Dorr, who is the co-founder of Altus Assessments. So thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, thanks so much for having me, Simone. I'm excited to get to chat with you today.
So please tell us a little bit about Altus Assessments and then your background in medical education that led you to start this initiative.
Sure, absolutely. I'll maybe start a little bit with myself and talk about how that evolved into Altus. So my background is as a PhD researcher in medical education. So my background is in both cognitive psychology and health professions education research at McMaster University up here in Canada. By background, I've always been fascinated by both assessments, but also professionalism issues and things like that. Those were areas where I really leaned in to helping both our UME and GME programs as both a graduate student and as a faculty member. While I was there, I was asked to actually help the university improve our personal statements in the application to medical school. So many folks were trying to figure out how could we improve both the quality of these, but actually get more usable, defensible data from them, because there's lots of problems and some biases that exist in personal statements as they're currently written. So trying to say, could we minimize that? The difficulty was the way ours were structured is that there were many months that applicants had to actually prepare these statements. And what often happens, as would be a very natural thing, is that they became more village statements than personal statements. And so what village you had access to had a direct impact on the quality of your personal statement and shouldn't be reflective of your ability to either get into medical school or match to residency. And so we at McMaster had developed something that your listeners may have heard of called the multiple mini interview, or MMI, which was used in selection. But we wanted to add another piece to that. We wanted to find something that we could add upstream to really help programs look at personal and professional qualities early on when they use things like the MCAT. So they're balancing both those academic and non-academic attributes. We ended up developing CASPER, which I'll talk about in a minute, which is an online proctored situational judgment test, or SJT, as we tend to talk about it. But it was used at McMaster first starting in 2010. There was so much interest in it, though, given its defensibility and its ability to predict future performance, that more and more schools wanted to use it. Obviously, McMaster was not in the business of running other medical admissions processes. And so that actually ended up evolving into Altus Assessments. So Altus Assessments was formed in 2014 with the purpose of delivering the CASPER assessment to medical schools, other health professions programs, and GME.
Well, you provided such an amazing overview of the way that this organization was founded. And one question I have is that you discuss the importance of it in undergraduate medical education as you're applying to medical school and putting together this personal statement. But what about residency programs? Mm-hmm. What might somebody wonder in regards to what you're trying to solve in regards to helping somebody get into residency?
Absolutely. So we worked in UME for a little while. That's where we started. But what we kept having was the pull from program directors and even applicants to GME saying, you know, I wish we had a more standardized way to present our personal and professional attributes in GME applications, so that there was a way that they could sort of put themselves forward rather than just being from a school that the PD knew, or having done, you know, an elective with the program director, something like that, that could make them really stand out and highlight their strength. So a few years ago, we actually looked to modify and re-blueprint the test in order to be used in graduate medical education selection, and really that transition to training time. And with that, we also discovered that there were a few other gaps that we could potentially help fill with more standardized and objective data in a way that hopefully doesn't burden applicants too much, and it is actually usable information by the program. So things like the fact that the MSPE is really, really hard to read. And so how do we provide more information upfront that sort of may direct them a little bit to dig deeper into the MSPE to see what else is there, particularly related to, you know, both professionalism and things like that, finding people who are superstars in that area. But also one of the things that we heard from applicants is, you know, that fit, this concept of fit, and I use it in air quotes here, you just can't see it on the podcast, is something that was really important to both programs and applicants. And I don't like the term fit because I think it implies, you know, something that's a perfect fit or just like exactly what the program is looking for. before, when in fact, we don't want a lot of always the same thing. We want diversity of perspective. And we actually ended up creating a test, which I can talk about in a little bit, called Duet, which I love because it's like a beautiful duet of the programs and the applicants together, looking at the alignment of them.
So you started to worry me when you said the word test. You think about an applicant applying to residency, it's already stressful. Tell me a little bit more about this test and whether or not I should think of this as something to be really, really anxious about.
Absolutely. The word test is so commonly used, but I think particularly for medical students, you know, as we're thinking about high stakes assessments, it can be really, really intimidating. So let me unpack what the CASPER assessment is and talk a little bit about, you know, what it means for applicants and how, you know, they might even think about preparing for it or what they should worry about or not worry about. So as I mentioned before, CASPER is an online proctored situational judgment test. So I always say, we were online before online became cool with COVID. We were doing fun assessments. And the goal of it is within a 90-minute assessment to have applicants view multiple scenarios that they can use to present their best self. So let me unpack what a situational judgment test is. We're all used to traditional interview questions where I might say, Simone, tell me about a time when you had difficulty coping with stress. And you would tell me all about this practice rehearsed time that you had in your head that you had prepared before the interview, and you would tell me all about it. Instead, an SJT presents everybody with the same scenario. And so Simone, you and I would see the same scenario, which is most often a 60 to 90 second video, which would be a typical dilemma. They're often can be in a clinical context, but there's no clinical content in them because we're not testing medical knowledge. These are meant to test, you know, broadly professionalism and social intelligence of applicants. So when we're seeing these scenarios, you and I are seeing the same scenario, but we would react to it somewhat differently based on our life experiences and pathways and all those different things. So when an applicant sees a CASPER scenario, they watch the video, which is 60 to 90 seconds generally, and then they have 5 minutes to respond to three open-ended questions about what they would do and why they would take that course of action. And what that allows them to do is take different pathways to get to the same endpoint, or maybe even end up at different endpoints, because there's no correct answer. There's no single correct answer in this approach. It's allowing people to bring their perspectives, their backgrounds into the response so that it's actually an authentic representation of what they would do. One of the nice things about the open-ended responses, besides the fact that there's no single right answer, is that our raters, who are trained members of the community that you guys as physicians will one day serve, actually know that there's no correct answer. They know that, Simone, you might talk about communication and I might talk about empathy, and that's perfectly all right because these are multidimensional scenarios. When we have multidimensional professionalism scenarios, they're not black and white. There's tons of shades of gray. And so that way applicants don't have to be worried about getting it exactly right. You just have to be your authentic self.
And so let's talk about the fact that still I may have never experienced something of the way you're describing it. So how do I prepare?
Absolutely. So first of all, I will say that there's many, many testing. So you have the flexibility to pick a time where it's going to be relaxing for you or as relaxing as possible, and you can get yourself in a quiet space. One of the things that we encourage, and this is actually driven by the data, is that folks who do the practice test and are just familiar with the format actually are more comfortable when they're writing the test itself. And that makes a lot of sense. The data that we have, though, shows that professional coaching services or things like that don't actually help. They don't increase your overall CASPER score. And that's really important to us because we don't want this to be a coachable, gameable response. We want it to be actually an authentic response from the applicants. So the free practice tests are available to everybody who completes CASPER. The test itself is at no cost. So this year, there's no cost for applicants to write the assessment if you're required by one of the GME programs that you're applying to complete CASPER or the Altus suite. You don't have to worry about that. And we will make sure that there's a wide variety of tips and tricks that we provide to you a few days before your CASPER test so you can feel completely at ease and best prepared for it.
And one thing that you mentioned was that there's this score. There's raters that are then looking at your answers and then you're given this ultimate score. Is that something that an applicant is able to see, or is it only something that a program is then provided?
Absolutely. So the programs are provided the score, and the applicants are provided their quartile. So you know how you're doing relative. One of the things I want to stress though, is when we tend to think about these types of assessments, we think about things like the USMLE or COMLEC, or we think about the MCAT where these cutoffs exist. That is not the case for CASPER. We encourage programs actually to not use it as a threshold. Instead, we use it as an additional piece of data point to support their process of holistic review, because at the end of the day, that is the best way for a program to review all of its applicants is through holistic review. So we want these data points that we're providing to actually support that rather than being a worried cutoff. So even if you get in the bottom quartile of CASPER, and it is a single data point on a, from a single day, and we need to remember that. And so all of those factors we use and we tell programs, this is part of the way that they use the scores. These are not, you know, life-ending things. It does not mean you're not going to match. It means it's one data point in the process.
So do you find that most residency programs are using these assessments in order to provide people an opportunity to interview for a program? Or is this typically something that's provided after the interview process to see whether or not the program may consider actually ranking that applicant?
Great question. So all the assessment is done early on. So we run tests between July and September. So applicants can do it at any point when it's sort of convenient to them. But then that data is provided when ARAS opens to the programs. Programs all use it differently. As we know, it's a little bit of the Wild West in terms of how programs use different informations because they're doing it based on their mission and their resources and their needs. What we tend to hear from programs is that they tend to use it earlier on as a balance to maybe the USMLE score or things like that. Or if they're looking at somebody from a school maybe they're not familiar with, but they have a really strong CASPER score, that might be somebody that they want to either bring in to interview or prioritize for holistic review. We do find that they use it again ranked for some programs. So again, most of the time what you find is programs for rank, they bring back all the data points and sort of use it in that way. So there's no cut and dry answer there. They just sort of use it at a couple of points, depending on where they think it's useful and where it creates a balance in the process, because they do want to be considering both, as I said, those academic and non-academic scores together.
I love how you describe the importance of a holistic review, and especially as USMLE and COMLEC Step 1 becomes pass-fail, it is really important for people to understand and appreciate other elements that are going into the application process. How will I even know if residency programs that I'm applying to are even looking for me to do a CASPER assessment, and where might I find this information?
Absolutely. Great question. We're hoping to have everything finalized by July, but what we can tell you right now is that there are certain specialties that are committed to participating this year. And they include ophthalmology, obstetrics and gynecology, anesthesia, and some internal medicine and surgery programs as well. The final list will be on our website, and you can actually pop in your email address and you'll get sort of updates as they become available. One thing I also want to highlight is that beginning in June, so if you go to that website, you'll also find information to sign up and get information on our free applicant webinars that we're having. So that's where I'm in there and I'm giving a deeper dive and I'm there for live Q&A. You know, I put myself right out in front there. So if you have questions on the process, if you want to understand, if you want to dig into the demographic data, if you want to dig into the predictability data or reliability data, or you just want to know, you know, feel more reassured and more information on how to prepare and what that looks like, we're there for it. And we want to make sure that, you know, applicants have that transparent information about setting themselves up for success.
That is great to hear that there's going to be those live Q&A sessions where people can ask about this process, especially if they don't know a lot about it and they just want to learn a little bit more at the start of the season. So where can people go in order to find those dates of the webinars?
So if you're looking to get more information on our final list of programs that are participating, that's going to be on takealtis.com. And if you go there, you can actually enter your email address to get notifications of both the webinars and the final program list that's available for applicants.
Well, you have provided us with so much great information about ALTIS assessments and how applicants are going to be using it for the upcoming match season. Is there anything else that you would like to add about ALTIS assessments and the way that it's going to be used for the residency application process?
CASPER is the main part. That's the main situational judgment test that is proctored. But GME programs are going to be requiring two other small pieces that are available on demand that go with it. The first is called Duet, and that's a values alignment assessment. And that's something that applicants complete once for all the programs they're applying to, and then it's actually compared to a program profile. Applicants receive back your duet profile, which tells you across academics, clinical experience, and culture, what are the values and priorities that you have and should be looking for in a GME program, which I think is really interesting data to get back and reflect on. The other piece that GME programs are requiring is called Snapshot. Again, more details are available in the webinar. That's a standardized video response, which just allows, you know, I talk about it like it's your personal statement coming to life.
Well, it's neat to know that there are so many elements that are being taken into consideration to help people find that program that best promotes their, quote, fit, as you described. Thanks for joining us at Inside the Match. Special thanks to Kevin McLeod for the music, and be sure to follow or subscribe to our podcast. Catch our next podcast to learn more application tips and hear from other awesome leaders in medical education.